This podcast is brought to you by CE Pro Magazine, the leading magazine in the business of custom electronics. Visit cepro.com for the latest industry trends and to subscribe. CE Pro is an EH Publishing, Inc. publication.
This is Rio Pacino for podtech.net. I'm here at the 2006 CEA Industry Forum, where Mark Cuban is set to begin his keynote address.
Please warmly welcome Mark Cuban.
So I was sitting in a hotel in Hong Kong reading the newspaper and 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and you're flashed across like the big quote section. And here you are, you know, knocking YouTube into Google purchase. Do you think Google made a big mistake? What's going on here?
I think they made a mistake. I mean, it's really, really, really easy to build a business on based on illegal goods. I know of counterfeiters. I mean, I used to know drug dealers.
Hey, we have a new quote now. You know, stole my girl and I know girl.
You know, you steal
dealers.
Stuff and you resell it, you know, or give it away and sell advertising or whatever around it. It's really, really, really easy. And so, you know, I just think when you build a business based off of stolen goods, that's, you know, I mean, even Napster, I don't think actually did the stealing. You know, Napster just told you the people who were stealing and sent you there. Here, you know, with YouTube, they just said, give it to me. And, you know, you give it to me, and it's not my fault you gave it to me, and I'll pretend I didn't know that, you know, the Porsche parked in my driveway is illegal, and, you know, it's just, we'll sell around it and try to make some money off it. I just think that that's not a good foundation for Google to work from.
It's not all that. I mean, Diet Coke and Mentos, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, Diet Coke and Mentos is great, but you wouldn't know about all the Diet Coke and the Mentos if there weren't every other, you know, John Daly clip and Comedy Central clip and full episodes of, you know, hundreds of other shows to go out there and get. YouTube is YouTube because you can find anything. That's what makes YouTube work.
But they'll take down anything if the copyright owner says,
that's
please
great,
take it down.
Isn't it? But that's not the spirit of the law. Because you gotta, it's not so much YouTube.
What's happened to you, Mark?
Hey, I don't think, you know, the thing I liked about YouTube is that there's no DRM. So, you know, if you're going to let them steal content and put it up there, at least when I download it, I don't have to worry about cracking it. You know, I'm anti-DRM because I think it's a waste of time and money. HDNet, any of the DVDs, like Enron or any of the DVDs we put out there, I don't waste any money giving it to Macrovision. You know, that's just a waste of money. But at the same time, it's a slippery slope we're talking about. If, you know, YouTube tries to qualify themselves by saying we limit it to 10 minutes, which isn't true, but 100 megabytes of file size. Well, okay, if it's legal to do it at 100 megabytes, why wouldn't it be legal to do it at 10 megabits or 10 gigabits rather? You know, and so now at 10 gigabits, what can I put up there? I can put full-length movies. I could put a whole season of Lost up there in 10 gigabits, and, you know, if it's legal to do it for this, why wouldn't it be legal to do it for that? So it's a very, very slippery slope.
Well, in the past, you've been very critical of the big content companies. Now you're a studio owner. Has that made a difference here?
No, not at all. I paid for the Grokster defense, you know, just last year. It's totally different. You know, it's not about the content company. I'm not trying to protect content companies or anything like that. I'm trying to protect the sanctity of the internet. Well, that's a little bit holier than that. I just think when you start enabling people to just, what I'm doing is I think it's wrong to hide behind laws to create a business. And I think that's what gets me more than anything. So YouTube says we're hiding behind the safe harbor laws of the DCMA. And I don't think, you know, or DMCA, I don't think that the laws apply.
But from the consumer perspective, YouTube is fun. They can make a video of their cat, put it to some music. Is that wrong?
No, not wrong at all.
So what makes it wrong?
Well, I don't care about, you know, the background use of music because if, you know, you can always make the argument that they'll pay their publishing rights and they're not even paying ASCAP BMI, but, you know, you would think if they paid some ASCAP BMI, at least the publishers or somebody would get paid. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is it's just an enabler for everything else that goes on. If Gary decides to, you know, line up his 17 cats he keeps in his bedroom and play, you know, Sexy Back from Justin Timberlake and you know, choreograph them all, great. Put it on your website. That's all good. And then it'll get indexed by Google. And if I want to find, if I put in 17 cats, sexy back, Justin Timberlake, I'll find your website. More power to you. You know, but at the same time, if it's, you know, sexy back and full, you know, 90, full quality MP3, and that just becomes a front for hundreds of other songs in full MP3 quality. And like what I do, I used to go to iTunes, sample different things, download them to my iPod. Now I go to iTunes, sample different things, do a search for them on YouTube, and just download them to my iPod.
I know, you can't afford those iTunes, can you?
Yeah, but it's so much easier doing it over there because, yeah. You know, it's just quicker. All the way through. It's quicker, and I get to test.
Well, help me out here. I'm going to ask you about some companies, and maybe you can give them some advice. Let's start with YouTube. What would you tell, putting aside Google for a second.
Well, they did exactly
you
what I told
you. YouTube, what would you do?
Sell it and run. Which is exactly what I said in my blog that they should do, and they did. I mean, you know, look, if it's a real business about user-generated content and Diet Coke and Mentos, you can do what every other business was basically forced to do up until then, which was say, okay, I've got to check this upload for copyright violations and rights infringements, and if it doesn't pass, I don't accept it. That's what everybody else did. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, well, if Google, if YouTube can get away with it, well, then VO and everybody else can get away with it as well. Until today, I guess, someone sent me an email saying Universal sued Grouper and another Bolt.com for infringement.
How about your advice to Google?
You're going to be paying a lot more to lawyers. I think they're going to get killed. But you know what's interesting is I got an email today from somebody who tried to upload an episode of a TBS or a TNT cartoon called Boondocks, and they said when they tried to upload it that they got a response back from Google saying that it didn't pass our video policies and they wouldn't let them load it, which means YouTube, the soon-to-be Google company, takes anything and doesn't check, and that's how they're trying to hide behind the Digital Millennium Copyright Act safe harbor laws. And then Google over here isn't trying to hide. They're saying, we respect copyright, and we're not going to let you just put everything up. Which, when you get YouTube, what are you going to get? Which is it going to be? And that's going to be an interesting question. So if Google just checks it all, and literally if user-generated content is that great a business, if Diet Coke and Mentos, if, you know, Dancing Cats, if, you know, guys, you know, racking themselves off of their skateboards is what 100 million, you know, tens of millions of people want to see every month, great. You know, and in terms of parodies, fine. You know, in terms of background music, just pay your ass, get BMI, fine. I'm fine with that. You know, but if all of a sudden it turns into, like I put in Scarface, and there was Scarface 1 through 17, I did a little quick list, downloaded them into my iPod, and for my iPod it was good enough quality. It's just too easy. It's easier than it was for Napster. It's easier than it is for LimeWire. It's easier than it is for Grokster, the Grokster was. It's easier than it was for BitTorrent. It's just, you know, they make it so easy that there's no workarounds.
All right, give me some more advice. Let's say you're a big motion picture company like Disney. What do you do?
Relevant to what? YouTube?
Your business and the internet, essentially. Your business and the internet.
Well, it's interesting. We'll start with YouTube. I certainly don't license my content to YouTube on a percentage of revenue because that's, you know, an unknown number. Because what happens when you start going through YouTube, there's two problems. Any one piece of content doesn't really give you that many views. You know, so, you know, I can put something up and it might have 17 views, 1,700. You know, who knows? Neither one is that big a number. Even 17,000 isn't really that big a number, particularly when you consider that all the numbers can be jerry-rigged. There are so many guys on their kids on there that are just pumping up those numbers. They don't really stream 100 million videos a month. It's funny, you go in there and you can start looking just at individual user profiles. And there's guys who are watching 700, 800, 1,000 videos an hour.
How do you do that?
You don't. Oh, well, how do you jerry-rig it? There's 101 different ways. You can set you can set the auto refresh on your browser, and let's just say it's a tab browser. You can open up 100 or however many windows you want onto your video, and you just set it to automatic refresh. Now, the smart people log out of YouTube and do it as an anonymous user. the dumbasses leave their names logged in, and and you get to look all those people. So that's part one. And so if I'm going in there on a licensing perspective saying, you know, and all these people like, well, you know, it's just better because it's just there's this momentum with all these users who are watching all this content. There were 39 million users who are watching. But any one piece of video, that's like saying, you know, there's 100 million users that have 100 million television homes. So if you get on television, 100 million are going to watch your video. It's ridiculous. I think it's a mistake.
All right, let's switch subjects.
Okay.
Give me paint a picture for us of the consumer electronics living room, if you will, in 5 or 10 years.
You know, an LCD or plasma screen in the middle of the living room. Some devices that are plugged right into the TV. Hopefully, you know, my perfect TV that hopefully Zenith, whoever, Philips, Panasonic, whatever. I won't list them all, but I love you all. One thing, my mom, my dad, no. Allows me to take a portable hard drive that in 5 or 6 years is the size of a Sidekick or your phone and has a terabyte on it that I've taken all my home videos and put on because that's my backup or it's my primary hard drive, and I've taken HDNet content or whatever I've purchased and just allows me to plug it right into the TV just via USB or FireWire. So I don't have to deal with all the drama that all the video distributors are going to introduce. And I'm not limited to the compression and whatever issues that whether it's Blu-ray, HD, DVD, or satellite or cable introduce. Because in 5 or 6 years, you know, 1080p at even better picture quality is going to be available for less price, but there's going to be no way to watch it. And HD, DVD, and Blu-ray may be through future iterations with higher disk storage. But let's just say Blu-ray goes from 50 to, you know, 100 or to, you know, 250. That's still nothing, relatively speaking, when a hard drive like that can hold a terabyte or more. So I'd rather be able to take all my content, buy it, hopefully walk into a store or Blockbuster or whatever, plug it in, download it, just walk over to my TV, plug it in, and watch. It'd be so easy. And then, you know, wireless out to speakers for, you know, whatever, 7.1, 8.1, 19.1, whatever is available at that point in time. And then in terms of online access, I still don't think there's going to be, you know, where we're happy to get 3 megabits throughput now, whether it's cable or DSL or wireless. I don't think we're going to be getting 15 or 20 or 25 megabits throughput to our homes back then. So I don't want to be dependent on broadband to control what I'm able to access and what I'm able to receive and the quality that I'm able to receive it at. I want to be completely independent because I think the weakest link in the whole CE chain is going to be the expectation that the broadband connection is going to be able to deliver anything at any time to anybody. And I don't see that. And then the final link, hopefully there'll be wireless media distribution standards for in the home so that I can take any component and just plop it in whatever room I want to, and it just connects, and wherever outlet, you know, I want it to come out of, it'll come out of.
Let me take you back. I think that's great, and that's a great vision. Let me take you back, though. Our strategy as an industry has been to encourage broadband, to have broadcast cable, satellite, telephone line, various flavors of wireless, all competing with each other to get into the home, so it's relatively inexpensive for the consumer. But you're saying, given all that and given the growth of broadband, that's not enough.
Because, you know, speed isn't just about broadband coming into your home or satellite coming down. It's how quick you can get it from point A to point B. It's cheaper today to fill up a 500-gig hard drive that costs $129 with content and send it UPS down the street than it is to try to transport that 500 gigabits over any broadband connection you have in terms of to the home. You know, Brown is faster than broadband.
Yeah.
And that's not going away. It's going to get worse because the price performance of hard drives, price is going down, performance and storage is going up. And so I want that extra opportunity, and I don't want to be delimited. So I want to be able to take HDNet content that I capture in, let's say, D5, uncompressed high def, and as storage capacities increase, to be able to convey that experience and give it to consumers. you know, anybody, well, I mean, a lot of people here obviously have seen uncompressed HD on their TVs that they sell, and it's phenomenal. I mean, if this was an SAT question, VHS is to DVD, as DVD is to broadcast HD, which is as to uncompressed HD. It just blows you away. I mean, people who have sat, like editors, will sit in a room with uncompressed HD working with it in a dark room, looking at it on a cool monitor, and then when you walk outside, you have to recalibrate for real life. It's that good. And with all these TVs you're selling, the quality is going to keep on getting better, yet there's nobody to deliver the quality in terms of software, in terms of content. And to me, that's an opportunity. And I want to be able to deliver on that opportunity, and I can't do it unless you give me a way to connect to your TVs. And right now, that way does not really exist to the extent that you're going to need it.
Well, that's great. And you've also given a good vision of multi-room audio and video. Let me ask a question. Do you think the consumer electronics industry has done a good enough job, and we've done a great job, I think, selling HD, maybe you'll disagree, but in terms of selling the audio experience as part of that hall, home, theater, sports, everything experience?
No.
How can we do better?
No, I mean, it's hard to do better just because, you know, it always comes down to where the buying decisions are made to be able to experience them. And it's very difficult in a, you know, we were just talking about earlier that the consumer selling experience is bright lights, big box, big open area, with maybe one room geared towards audio where 15 people are blasting stereos to see how loud they can get. And it's just very, very difficult to do. And I think Dolby and some of the other folks are really working hard to create environments where people can experience it. But part of the selling process I know that HDNet's trying to use is, you know, selling audio as part of the experience, because it's a huge, just putting something in 5.1 and getting into a home theater that has it, you know, it's night and day. But one of the challenges that I think that the consumer electronics industry should take on that annoys the hell out of people, that can be a lever point to selling better audio, is the problem where commercials, particularly when you have a 5.1 setup and you're watching or listening to 5.1 audio, and all of a sudden it switches to stereo for a commercial and it just blasts you out of the room. Blast you out. We get so many complaints about that. My wife complains more. I mean, it's like, okay, I know I'm trying to fix it, you know, and it's hard to watch TV sometimes because you know it's going to blast you out. Using that as a stepping stone to be able to get out there and say, you know what, advertisers, you look like idiots, and you're forcing people to turn the channel when the audio coming through on a high-definition broadcast, not only does it look stupid when you're watching a widescreen and all of a sudden it shrinks itself, it's like, hey, I'm a commercial, look at me, you know, turn the channel. But at the same time, the audio blows you out of the water, and it just immediately gives you a bad taste for that brand and that commercial. And that could be a way to educate people to say, look, you don't want that experience. You don't want your consumers to have that experience. You don't want, you know, people to experience your brand that way. Integrate 5.1 sound. Let us show you how. Let us show you why. And if you start taking that step, consumers will understand and appreciate.
That's a great product idea, and I'm sure there'll be an introduction at the 2008 CES on that by someone in this room. Switching subjects, Mark, in terms of the, I want to get back one more time, because this is my favorite subject. The content community is always pushing legislation. They always want to cut things down. What's the balance now? Has it gone too far?
It's gone way too far.
In what way?
Well, I mean, you know, dead plus 9,000 years to own copyright is not good. You know, and that's where they're trying to get. I mean, there is, you know, you got to protect copyright so people can exploit it and make their money, get their money, earn a living, etc. But at some point, you know, I want it to go into public domain. I like the Creative Commons license. You know, I like the ability that, you know, we as a nation benefit from common knowledge and common wisdom and the ability to use that. So I think they try to go way too far.
So copyright terms are too long. How about the penalties? Of the 10,000 people have been sued by the RIAA. How do you feel about that?
That's just dumb. You know, sue YouTube and Google. Leave the people alone. You know, it's just, people don't understand, and they're not going to fully understand. And even though, you know, ignorance is no excuse, you know, yada, 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 you're going to be able to go after all the 17 and 12-year-olds and grandmas you want, and there's no win there. You know, squeezing $3,000, you know, extorting $3,000 a pop from people is wrong.
All right. Penalties are too high, number two. Third, DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which basically, for those that don't know, it's Mark's referred to a number of times. It says you cannot circumvent a copyright protection scheme.
And, you know, I think that's wrong, too.
I know. That's why I asked the question, but I wanted to hear you say it.
I think that's wrong, too. You know, you want to be able to reverse engineer. I don't want to have, you know, my daughter who's three and when she's four deciding to decrypt some software on her Barney and get thrown in jail.
How about this effort now, which we narrowly averted in this last Congress, and the Senate Majority Leader is swearing he's going to get this through in a lame duck session. Senator Frist has said, I'm going to have legislation to make it illegal for digital radios to have a recording feature.
That's so stupid. You know, digital radios, particularly in your car, right? You know, there's real, again, I'll jump on YouTube all day long because it's all in one spot. It's easy. It's kind of like, you know, where all the crack dealers hang out, and you know to go there. But when it comes to your home and it's individual and it just adds nuisance and nonsense to it, it's craziness.
All right.
See, we're not so far apart on all
that. We're not apart at all, Mark. You're right with your computer company. You're right about internet radio. You were first there with HGTV. You have these, obviously you've taken a basketball team and done a great job. And I've been asked to ask you, how far are they going?
How far are they going? Depends who's reffing. I don't know. You know, I was following Dwayne Wade down the highway one day. He's in the car in front of me. The guy was going 120 miles an hour. I was going 50, and I got the ticket. For basketball fans, we'll get that.
That's good. So the basketball team, you know, you've taken out to our, I've read, actually, it's one of the most popular teams in China.
Yep.
And you've turned into an international franchise as well.
Which makes me no money, so, you know. But it's fun.
If you want sympathy in this room about owning a sports team, I don't think you're
going to get it. No, that's actually a knock on the NBA, but that's okay.
You've done all these other what? How about the next 6 months to a year? What's next?
Yeah, where I spend most of my time right now is Landmark Theaters and HDNet, and the Mavs are kind of just fun, you know. And I'll go to the games, and I get to scream and yell, kind of release all the anxieties that come with having a three-year-old and an eight-week-old and running all these businesses, and I get to have fun there. But, you know, we live in a digital content universe, and trying to figure out how people want to receive content and when, you know, whether it's creating movies or creating TV shows, hiring Dan Rather, hiring Dennis Rodman, and putting them in Landmark Theaters, putting them on HDNet, putting them on DVD, putting them on hard drives, putting them on flash drives, whatever it may be. I love trying to figure out where all the opportunities are. You know, when everybody was poo-pooing the internet and saying, oh, it's, you know, like a CB craze, I thought that was a great opportunity. Now everybody is so focused on the internet as the salvation for everything, and here we are 10 years in, the internet's old news. There's nothing new about the internet. Maybe it gets a little faster, a little slower, a little more efficient, a little cooler. I mean, Web 2.0, and there's nothing new there. And so while everybody's staring at the internet, I'm like, wow, they're looking over there. And I look at high def, you know, we'll go back to YouTube for a second, but not on copy protection, copyright. Here's everybody saying web video might impact television, the future of television. And I'm looking, first, how easy is it going to be to connect a PC to an LCD like that? Most PCs don't have HDMI or DVI out. You got to add stuff or it's only the higher end. But they're forced, talk about copy protection, right? They're forcing you pretty much to go to component, DVI, and HDMI and trying to get rid of component. And, well, that's going to make it, if the PCs don't have component out, it's awful hard to connect your PC to your TV. And so I'm thinking, and you know, you heard what I said about broadband. I don't think we're going to get the speeds to enable download and make it real easy so everything goes to your PC. So, and maybe people will introduce boxes like Apple in the interim, but I don't know that people are going to want to spend $300 to connect their PC to their TV. But in the meanwhile, here's these TVs that you guys are selling and this great audio that looks phenomenal. And what's happening that everybody's missing because they're so intent at looking at the internet and broadband is we're putting up an LCD in our living room, and the family's starting to watch TV again. People are coming in, and they're watching HDNet movies, and how they're high-def channels. They're watching sports. They're watching movies. They're watching stuff in HD and going, wow, That's not the same television experience that I've had before. Now, we don't have numbers. We just have kind of anecdotal research and some limited research HDNet's done. But TV shows that are in high def, within the high def universe, get higher ratings. And no one's paying attention to any of that. They want 17,000 views for Mementos and Dr. Pepper, you know. And what's the follow-up to the Nim Num guy, you know, and Lonely Girl, when right in front of us, right in this room, we are changing viewing habits for every household in America, and analog's going away. LCD plasma, DLP, all the TV technology is only going to get better, cheaper, faster, and change the experience. So while everybody's looking that way at the internet and broadband, I'm looking to this room saying, you know, I'm beating up John Taylor. I'm saying, give me a chance to connect all my stuff to do it. I'm going to Hewlett Packard and other places and say, give me lossless codecs for uncompressed, you know, to get compared to uncompressed HD so that I can create
better experiences
than what you're seeing right now. So but by the time everybody else realizes that broadband is fun, it's cool. You know, when I go check my email at night, which everybody in America basically does, and then I can link out based off of someone sent me an email, so I'll go check, you know, Gary's video, or I'll go check this, I'll go check that. But then when I'm done, I put that away, I get my beer, I sit back, I put my hand in my pants. The other hand's got you in there. And you know what? Just because a 12-year-old has got an iPod hooked up, a cell phone in their ear, IMing, doesn't mean they still don't have a hand to put in their pants and watch the game. You know, and they're going to get, you know, once you go to work, things change.
I think he just means that as a resting place, by the way. Not as a, it's kind of above the belt.
No, that's not what I mean, but no.
Work with me, Mark.
You didn't meet my dad, but seriously, I mean, it is right in front of us, and everybody's so intent thinking, you know, that because it's TV, everybody's missing it. And to me, that's the right here, what's in this room, is the biggest opportunity.
So tell us what to do, Mark. You have the consumer electronics executive sitting in this room. What is your advice?
In the TV, give me a way to connect and preempt all the distributors. Right? Give me a way to connect right to the TV.
So HDMI is good or bad?
HDMI is fine, but you can take a decoder chip, all the decoder chips that Apple or whoever is looking to put in the set-top box that they put on an ATI card or they put in a chipset on the PC to decode high definition and MPEG-4 and all the other forms of video, put it right in your TV. They're not that expensive. Give me a USB or FireWire port and Ethernet port. And for the Ethernet port, we were just talking about, go out to my PC. Don't ask my PC to send to the TV. Go out to my PC. Look for all the file formats that you support. Show them in a programming guide right on the TV. And then you take control of it. Another way of saying that, you guys become the media center. Screw Microsoft. Screw Apple. Right? I would go out there try to license the iTunes interface, because I don't know if we'll do it, or try to recreate it, put on your TV, go out and find the content from the TV, let people connect the content to the TV, and you become the media server. That way, all these hard drives, all the family portraits, all the digital video, all this stuff, everything's going digital, everything's going to be on a hard drive, right? Everything. Everything your kids collect, everything you collect will get onto a hard drive more and more and more so over time. Just plug it into the TV. Period.
That's good advice. Final question. You've been phenomenally gracious with your time. I mean,
you're setting me up for something.
No, I love it. I'm not capable of that. No, I just love your passion for everything you do, and it's made a difference. And it's been a joy to work with you on HDTV, because you look at it now, and
it's crazy,
made the
it?
Country happy, and it's a great thing a lot of people have contributed to, and I'm proud of that. I joke that my tombstone will be 16x9. I'm so. But not to get morbid, but what do you want your legacy to be? When you know, what do you want 100 years from now people to say about Mark Cuban?
I don't care.
Oh,
you know,
that was my big final question. You need a better answer than that.
You know,
you're so much in the present, and
I mean, damn, I had a great time partying with that guy. I mean, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Cuban. Thanks, Mark.